Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone. Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied.
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone. Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 229. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Remember, before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars on all the podcast platforms. Find us on YouTube on WEI's channel. Got the Play Tessie playlist there. It has all our videos, so you can hit the thumbs up. That helps us out a ton. And you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm here with Sammy, here with Pat. It's Gordo. And if you know the Play Tessie podcast, you know that, especially in the offseason, a lot of who says no's, a lot of fake trades. We talk the business side, the transactions, like when it's time to have those, like we obviously haven't had those conversations in like March, April, May, and to this point in June, but we do have a lot of those conversations. And like in the month of July, we're going to have a lot of those conversations, but I figured it's kind of time for a who says no primer. We're not going to have any specific trade proposals on this one. It's still June, but the Red Sox did just make the biggest trade that they'll probably make in the next, 100 years or something. I don't know. But
done. I mean, I don't think that Zach Penrod for cash is that big of a deal.
True. But they made a big trade, and there are, I mean, you could look at the team and point to roster deficiencies in a number of areas, but they just opened up a big hole on the offensive side of the ball. And if this team is going to be, you know, hell bent on contending, which publicly they've said they are, and you know, in the standings they're we're doing this a day in advance, so we'll see where they are in the standings. But they're in the hunt. They're in the playoff hunt. They're going to be in the playoff hunt for the foreseeable future. So it's time to talk trades.
We need like a transition sound for something like that. It's time to talk trades.
Yeah. Ooh, we still have that great little soundbite from Bo Bichette for when the who says no's do roll around, though.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
We cannot forget about that. We
talk dirty.
Yeah.
We got a little Bo. I kind of forgot about that. We got a little Bo Bichette surprise.
What's the Blue Jays record? They're
5-6.
Yeah, so they're good.
By the way, everyone said they were gonna stink. Everyone was like, the Blue Jays stink. Why are they doing this? But the Play Tessie guy said they're being underrated. So
good work. I think I said they were gonna suck.
Good work, Gordo and Sammy and Joe.
I actually don't remember what I said about them, but I didn't have them in last place.
I think we all said they'd be like better than people think. I don't know. Who cares? We're talking trades, dude. We're not here to brag about our Blue Jays takes. Why would I do that?
So I'll ask you guys a blanket statement question first. I said it at the beginning of the pod. There's a couple of different holes you could point to, deficiencies on the roster. Obviously, this is not a perfect team. They haven't played like a perfect team this year. Where do you think the biggest need for upgrade is on this team, keeping in mind the guys that are coming back and keeping in mind what they have and keeping in mind what hopefully maybe some guys will be able to grow into, and maybe some guys, like if you want to say the bullpen, maybe your thought process would be, well, they've used Weissert a gazillion games and he's going to feel that at some point. So, Sammy, I'll start with you. If they could make one big trade for one big thing at the deadline, what is that to you?
So along with Zach Penrod, the Red Sox also moved Rafael Devers. Prior to that, I would have said I want a number two, maybe a number one. but a number two starting pitcher to follow Garrett Crochet if this team does make the playoffs. Now, without Devers, I think the need has shifted. Probably need a bat. Ideally, someone who is okay moving from the field to DH, depending on the situation. There's a few guys I have in mind at different spots on the field. Both guys who have done what I just said, played DH, played the field. But that's my need for now. I think they need a middle of the order bat. I'm not talking like a superstar, but just a guy who could hit three or four. You put some fear in the heart of the opposing pitcher and lengthens your lineup overall. That's my top need right now.
Short I'm surprised term. You said that. Yeah, because I thought you were going to say pitching, and I was going to come back and say I think long term, yes, that.
But long term pitching. Yeah. Long term pitching, absolutely. I think that's a no brainer in both bullpen and rotation, especially rotation.
Just increasing the ceiling of that unit for the long term.
Absolutely. But short term, just for 2025, I think there's multiple rentals or short term deal guys that the Red Sox could add for a reasonable price. That makes them a lot scarier as they head down the stretch. Were we at the halfway point?
Almost.
Right? Yeah, we're almost at the just halfway point.
Is it this week?
I think it's this week, yeah.
Yeah, so they're almost at the halfway point of the regular season, not the halfway point of the full season, including playoffs. But yeah, I think they need a little bit of thump. So when Bregman comes back, it's not just him and Yoshida coming back. They need some outside love.
Pat, do you agree with us? Is it the bat, or are you looking pitching?
I'm actually going to go pitching. I think, I think it's easy. I don't want to say to get swept up, but maybe take for granted how good the starting pitching's been the last 2 weeks or so. Crochet is Crochet. Top five pitcher in the league. Like, you know what you got with him. Giolito, overall, the past 2 weeks has been good. He's a guy where water's going to find its level. I don't expect him to be quality start, quality start, quality start, quality start every single time. So he'll kind of average out. Bayo is still a mixed bag. Really don't know what you're going to get with him. Walker Buehler is flat out bad. Like, since he came back from the IL, he has not been good at all. And before then, he was fine. And then you have Dobbins going down. Cutter Crawford's got some wrist stuff going on. He's getting an MRI.
He's not
going
to pitch this year, is he?
No, he's not. Right? No. And then you have Dick Fitz is on his way back up. Don't really know what you're going to get with him. He was really good before the IL. He had that like weird extra rehab outing in Milwaukee, and he was
what a stupid
fine.
Move that was. That was so stupid of the Red Sox. We don't want you to rehab at the major league level. God, that was dumb.
Yeah,
he said he learned from that, but like at the same time, even though I think it was him who suggested it. Like the team can tell him, like, hey, buddy, like this is what's going to be best for you. Like,
it's not on
yourself in the spot.
Not
like,
on him.
Figure it out.
So
stupid.
So you have him who's going to be in the rotation for at least the foreseeable future. Tanner, who knows? He threw the other day in AAA. He wasn't pretty. And when I say like they need a starting pitcher, I don't mean go out and trade for Skeens. Like they just need something that is going to give you quality innings and be something reliable if/when playoffs roll around if they make it. They need a veteran there. They need a guy who can slot in right behind Crochet, and more or less, you know what you're going to get. So whether it be, I don't want to say a lot of names, but like there's plenty of very good veterans out there who should be available. Some you're kind of hoping are available because they're on like middling teams. But the second that opportunity comes up, there is no reason they should not be hyper aggressive in getting a stabilizer in that two hole.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like I said earlier, like the long term need here is someone to be your number two starter. I think the Red Sox have a lot of good starting pitchers in their system that are like, I'm not even talking about prospects. I'm talking about guys who can be middle to back of the rotation guys, but you don't necessarily have that guy who you're sure can be the number two starter, like save for this year, like even next year. Like there's no guy in the organization right now beyond Crochet that you're like, yep, this guy sure bet today is going to be that number two. And he's going to start the second game of a playoff series. He's going to start the second game of the season in 2026. Like, that guy doesn't exist. To me, the long-term need is there. The short-term need is with the offense. And where I would be willing to, if I were the Red Sox, invest in maybe like a dump situation, not in the sense of like you're taking on a bad contract for a bad player, but in the sense of not every team is going to trade for a guy making 20. Like, for instance, when the Red Sox traded Rafael Devers, there wasn't going to be a big market for the player, even though he's one of the best players in the league, but he's making a shit ton of money. So not every team is going to want to take that on. Guys who are making $20 million a year are going to, teams are going to run into the same issues with limited markets there. I think, I don't want to, the guy I keep coming back to, and I don't know if he's going to be available, but the team he's on, let's see, are they still under 500? Yeah, they're plenty under 500. Six games under 500 as we record this. I keep coming back to Matt Olson. Greg Breslow kind of let it slip in his press conference after they traded Devers. Like he said, you know, we could be looking for things and we're looking for a long-term solution at first base. And he let it slip that, yeah, oh yeah, but Casas could be a long road back. So like he kind of made it clear they are looking for offense and they're looking long-term at first base, even though the Red Sox have Tristan Casas. That's something that they'll look into. And to me, the Braves, I mean, this is now the second straight year where they, that roster is just not performing. And in those scenarios, like generally you try to get younger, and Matt Olson maybe could be a guy where they could look to move him. He's not quite been the guy that he was in his prime, but he's been playing his best baseball of the year of late. I think he'd be a good bat for the middle of the order, plays really good defense at first base, like good player to get, not perfect. He's not Rafael Devers. I don't think you're going to get a player of the caliber of Rafael Devers, but whether it be him or whether it be one of these rental first basemen, like you could talk about Josh Naylor with the Diamondbacks. You could talk about
Ozuna.
Reese Hoskins with the Brewers. If you wanted to go DH, you could talk Ozuna with the Braves. Like
Hoskins, Ozuna, nah. I'm kind of out on Hoskins. Ozuna from the Braves. Dudes, so Olson, that's a huge move if the Red Sox go for Olson. And it would be sick. I mean, Olson's unbelievable. He's one of the probably the second best first baseman, second or third. Like he's great. Plays good defense. But here's the issue. Money-wise, 2025, his age 31 season, $22 million, and it's the same all the way up until 2029, his age 35 season, followed by a club option for $20 million. So
that's not the worst.
No, it's not terrible, but that's a big chunk of money. And as stupid as it is in a sport without a salary cap, this does affect the way the Red Sox operate. So,
but it also impacts the way the Braves operate, and it's going to impact the return they get. Like that's why I'm so in on this, is because the money, if you're taking it on, which they can afford.
I'm saying in the future when they're trying to add other pieces or extend guys, the Olson money, even though it's not like a debilitating amount, it's still a pretty good chunk. So, it's just worth considering. And do you want to be locked into a guy's age 31 to 35 season? Generally, no. But a guy like Olson, the way he plays, I could see him aging well. But that's a big, big swing for this young Red Sox team to take. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That's one I need a long time to think about that. And it also, to me, I think that means the end of Tristan Casas. There's no way that they're going to roster two first base only, unathletic, very slow guys on the same roster. I just can't. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I just can't see the Red Sox doing that with how they've like talked about Yoshida has to be able to throw. We need him to be able to move around. Devers, oh, his contract's bad. He can only, all he does is DH. So I think they value flexibility. And as good as Olson, as great as Olson is, and as good as he's been for his whole career, he doesn't do that. So that it's a little bit of a tougher sell to me. That said, if the Red Sox got Matt Olson, I would lose my mind. That would be
can we talk about awesome. The Casas thing? Because that's such a big factor in all of this, like with what type of guys they're going to target, what positions they're going to target, what kind of team control they're going to target. Like the only reason a guy like Matt Olson comes into my mind is because of what Breslow said in that press conference, because he kind of let it slip. And yeah, like me as a huge Tristan Casas guy, like for me to suggest them adding a long-term first baseman, yeah, that comes with the assumption that I don't think that this team sees Casas as that guy. And as much as I have believed in him and I still want to believe in him, the truth is like when you tear your patellar tendon in your knee, I don't care what sport you play, what kind of athlete you are, I don't like how old you are. That is a hard injury to come back from. And when you're, when you go through that that lengthy of a rehab process to an injury that doesn't always bring guys back the same, and you know, leading up to that in 29 games, 182 batting average, 580 OPS, like obviously we've seen it from him in the past, but I don't think you can operate right now like he's going to be this 35 home run guy. And that's coming from me, like one of the ultimate Tristan Casas guys.
All like, of us. We all love Casas. It's just, yeah,
I just like don't you think said, you can operate like that.
That's not, and this sucks. Like this, Pat could probably speak to this better than I can, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not like a torn ACL where you'll probably, like, it happens a lot. Like, it's a brutal injury, but it happens. We've seen it in all different sports, and most guys come back and they're, you know, not exactly the same, but they're fine. Like, we've seen guys recover. Like, this seems really serious. Like, this is like a life change, not to be dramatic, but this is like a life changer.
It's not dramatic.
Pat, is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an intense surgery. It's a long rehab. The difference between like an ACL and something like an Achilles or a quad tendon or a patella tendon, it's like, it's so different because the tendon is like the attachment point for the muscle. So every time that muscle contracts, it pulls on the tendon that is connected to the bone. So it's a lot of it. It's not an easy recovery. And we looked up the list when we did radio, whatever it was, last month, 2 months ago. And on the list, there weren't a bunch of guys that came back, you know, exactly 100%. There were some guys who came like close, I guess. Some of them were older, so it's not reasonable to expect them to come back like that. But it's so individualized. Like, he's so young that he could bounce back just fine because he's so young. Typically, I think the list we looked up, most guys do a little bit later, middle to late stage of their career. But honestly, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like when he comes back.
Yeah.
But one thing I do want to mention on the Casas / Matt Olson thing. If they trade for Matt Olson, that is the thing that points to me that there is some form of a shift organizationally. Because that to me signals that they are now at the point where they're paying for guarantee rather than upside, which is something they have not done in years. You could have gone out, you could have paired, you know, he got hurt, but like Corbin Burns with Garrett Crochet. You could have done that. They thought they could get, you know, Walker Buehler to bounce back. Doesn't happen. They don't go out and get a first baseman because they think Casas is going to come back and be what he was in 22, 23. Doesn't happen. Like, you're now at the point where you freed up all this money. Organizationally, the kids are up. They're playing good. You have pieces at the major league level. You have to pay for guarantee now. There's no reason to be just preying on upside when you can actually afford a commodity that is known.
Yeah, I mean, I also think they're just in a different stage. Like, when you're in the building stage, you got to go cheap upside, try to win something that, like, for instance, like, I know that this is kind of different, but like with Narvaez, and obviously, like, again, different stage, they just kind of just, I don't want to say they got lucky because it's not lucky, but like, shoot for a guy's upside, and then when you win, now they've got this year and five more years of Narvaez, and he lines up right with your core. So there are stages of building a roster where it makes sense to bank on upside. Right now, when the kids are here, you've got the young guys, you've got the upside. They need more veteran talent. They need more certainty. Like, and to Sammy, to comment on your point before about having like two sort of unathletic, kind of bigger, not running, not speed, not in their game kind of guys. The way I would do it if they got Olson, because again, like I don't think you can guarantee Casas is going to be ready for next year right away, and you can't guarantee that he's going to be the caliber of guy that you want occupying first base next year. What I would do is Olson's under contract, and I would go into next year thinking Casas is going to DH most of the time, and he competes with guys like Yoshida and maybe a couple other guys. Maybe you bring in someone else, I don't know. But you have a competition, and if he wins, he's your DH. And if he loses, he has options. And he can work through his return in AAA and make it back that way. Like, I would rather go that route than either A, banking on a guy coming off an injury like this to make it back, and B, selling on Casas when his value is as low as it is. I would rather go that route
Mm-hmm. But I don't hate that. The inner monologue I'm having right now is like, well, two things. First is, are we talking about Matt Olson because we want the Red Sox to replace Rafael Devers ASAP, and he's the guy who makes the most sense, whether it's the smartest move or not. And then the other thing is, this is more of a question for you guys. If the Red Sox did trade for Matt Olson and conceivably take on all the money, which, as we discussed, it's a lot. It's not crazy, but it's, you know, it's a significant amount of money, $22 million a year. Do you guys think that they would be willing to add another big contract, like Michael King, someone yes. like that, or like trade for Joe Ryan and extend him?
They better be.
I agree, they better be, but do you think they will?
Raffy, and you've got Bueller and Giolito coming off the books, not to mention like chat, like all that's like you, and like in a few years, you've got Story and Yoshida. Like the money is coming off the books. Like they can afford some money on the books.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just it there's a lot
doesn't
to consider.
Mean they will. Can't
yeah,
trust.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I'm scared, man. I'm scared. Yeah. I just think that with Olson, like I said, I really don't want it to come across like I'm saying, don't trade for Matt Olson. I don't want him. That would be sick. I just think there's a lot to think about with a guy who has, yeah. and this is going to sound derogatory, a limited skill set. He has a limited skill set. He hits for power. Doesn't really hit for average as much. He's not a burner. The defense is good. Yeah, good, good. I'm looking now like it's good. It's not as like it once was, but it's still very good. And then I think the biggest thing is you'd be getting his age 31 through 35 or 6 season. So does the regression happen? Does he age like fine wine? I would lean towards him aging well, but that's not a guarantee. So that's all I'm saying. There's a lot to think about when it comes to Matt Olson. And I think it's a pretty significant risk if they make that trade. And we haven't even talked about what would be going to the Braves. I don't think it wouldn't be
crazy.
That crippling because of the money, that's the benefit of the money, but still it would be something.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So here's the reason that my head goes to Matt Olson, because there's kind of three avenues here. It's either take on salary of a guy who there's some baked in risk, like with Olson, with the age factor, and he's a first baseman and the bigger guy. Like, I get it. Then there's, you could say, oh, they should trade for Tatis, they should trade for Acuna, like they should trade for, I don't know, like Bobby Witt or Corbin Carroll, like stuff like that. And it's like, yes, I would love for the Red Sox to trade for these guys, but teams don't. I know the Red Sox just traded away their superstar, but teams generally, when their superstars are under team control for a while, they generally don't trade those guys away. The third factor is the lack of star power on the free agent market in the coming years. Not even just like Kyle Tucker's a free agent. In the next few years, who else besides Kyle Tucker? Who is there? Like, you're going to have to make a trade. Like, that's the only way, unless you're going to sign Kyle Tucker.
I think you have a loaded farm. That might be it. And like, as we're recording on Sunday, they just promoted Tolley, Brannon, and Rivera. Rivera, by the way, Red Sox fan listening, look up Rivera, Eduardo Rivera. Oh my God, monster. But anyway, I digress. I'm trying to figure out, are we being smart, or is it like irresponsible because it's right in front of us? So
there's no perfect way to go about it.
No, I'm just so afraid that like the trade for Olson, take on the money, and then it'll be the off season. We'll be like, all right, here we go. You need Michael King, or you trade for Joe Ryan, so you have a legit like high level number two starter behind Crochet. And then they do another like Walker Buehler experiment where they're doing like a reclamation project. And they're like, well, we've spent a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. We're trying to stay under this tier of stupid bullshit they give us or don't give us, and we have to figure out on our own. That's my fear. Just pondering on it. Well, we're going to talk about this a lot. I'll have to eventually give a take on how, like, my final decision on this. But Right now, I'm kind of like floating back and forth between like, yeah, Olsen would be good, or probably not the right time. I don't know.
It would just be a lot easier of a conversation to have if you just knew the options that were on the table.
Yeah.
That's why I like a rental. That's why I'm talking like Marcelo Zuna or Josh Naylor. It's like you get that boost for 2025, and then you can either extend them if you want or reset, and then you have free agency. You have the off season, and then you just like broad view.
Yeah. I think, Sam, you said it perfectly. I think now until July, you're eyeing rentals, because I think that the guys that you feasibly want to replace that kind of star power aren't available in June, July. Those are guys that are available in November, December, January. I'm a huge Naylor guy on the pitching side. I'm a huge Merrill Kelly guy as a rental. There's a bunch of guys out there. But what I wanted
to
say was...
You need Diamondbacks to sell.
Yeah, you do. Everyone listening to this podcast should be actively rooting against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks and Braves.
Unless you're from Arizona.
Yeah.
Padres, too. Tatis, baby.
The thing is, the Padres could suck and they're just not going to sell.
They're weirdos, dude.
One thing to keep an eye on, I guess I would say for the rest of the year, because we were just saying how the guys that are kind of the superstars you want to make a move for won't be available, you know, next month. Pay close attention to how guys like Franklin Arias, Peyton Tolley, Juan Valera, Brandon Clark, and Password all in the season. Because if the season ends, there is, and this is not a crazy thing to say, a decent to good chance that both Yastinkson Garcia and Franklin Arias are both blue chip prospects. And both of those guys are players in extreme areas of depth, outfield and middle infield. If those guys can evolve into top 50, I think Arias, for the most part, is unanimously a top 50.
Yeah, he's close, already there.
Yeah. Yastinkson is close to like 60 to 80. Yeah.
By the way, so Pat, Garcia is also very close to major league ready, which helps the value too.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Teams don't love trading for single A guys anymore. The Password thing being in AAA is a big deal.
Yeah. So
Password could come up like now, dude. He hit two home runs on Sunday and he's got sick hair. Good vibe.
Yeah. So those two guys could become incredibly valuable on top of the other surplus that you already have. As the deadline rolls around, you're just kind of looking at teams to bottom out. Like you're hoping that, you know, like I said, Arizona starts to bottom out. You're hoping Minnesota, Atlanta. There are the known commodities, the teams that are always going to sell, which, I mean, you have the Pirates, you have the Athletics, you have the Marlins, you have the Orioles are going to sell. They got some pretty interesting pieces if they completely blow it up.
White Sox. Lou Bob.
White Sox, obviously, yeah. And it's going to be interesting how the next month shakes out because, yeah, sure, like 60%, 70% of the league is in wildcard contention. Teams going to have to make hard decisions. They're going to have to look themselves in the mirror and say, do we truly believe this team can make a wild card? And there's going to be teams that say no. And you got to hope it's Atlanta and Arizona predominantly, and ideally Minnesota, that all say, you know what, it's not our year, sell off. Because that is where you can make the big splash for the short term. Long-term splash, big moves, that's this offseason. But you need pieces for the rest of the way.
I would love for any rentals they get to be making legitimate money, because the issue with the trade market with the new playoff format is that so few teams want to punt on a year at the end of July. And so many teams are in on buying. The reason I want to target guys who are making a lot of money, A, is because the Red Sox can afford to take it on. But B, it can take away some of those, I don't want to say small market teams, but small market teams that are in contention that don't want to add a guy who he was making 20 mil to start the year. So you're at like what? Six or seven mil for the rest of the year. They don't want to do it. So
can I throw a name out there?
Yeah.
All right. Gordo, I mentioned this guy's name earlier. What do you guys think of Brendan Donovan, Cardinals? He's a platinum glove. No, sorry. Utility gold glover, which is cool. Yeah. And extremely useful. Bats left-handed, low 800s OPS. Doesn't strike out. Good all-around player. What do you think about, like, he doesn't make a lot of money either. By the way, he's born in Germany, which is interesting. So he, sick defender, a guy who can bat high in your order because he gets on base a ton, high OPS. You could send, like, here's a weird way to use the money. send Trevor Story, pay all the money, get him off the roster, and then send them a good prospect, like Yastinkson or someone. I think that I think that makes sense.
I'm trying to look at him right. He won a, what, the utility gold glove?
Yeah, he plays left field, center field, right field, second base, third base. I think he's played some short, and I bet if you needed him to, he could play first, but he's
short. What position is he playing this year? Because his metrics aren't good defensively now.
He's a second baseman mostly.
My only issue with it is that I lean towards this team doesn't have middle of the order pop, and he doesn't solve that. Like, his career high is 14 home runs. He's a really good player.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But
just trying to think like a guy who I'm trying to think like how do you get rid of Story? Like how do you this actually the more I talk about this, this sounds more like an off-season trade.
I was just about to say
yes,
that.
I was just gonna say the same thing. Yeah.
Maybe more of an off-season guy. But like still, right I really like Donovan. The Giants should trade for Brendan Donovan. They have nobody at second.
Right now the Red Sox
they have Tyler Fitzgerald, who's a great sacrifice bunter. So you watch
Christian Koss. Christian Koss.
I miss Christian Koss on playing for the Giants.
Me too.
No, what the Red Sox need this year is like their version of like the Braves Jorge Soler trade in 21. Like you don't need to like find your middle of the order staple necessarily. Like if it's there, take it. But like truly, if it's Marcelo Ozuna,
that's like, my guy. I think I'm an Ozuna guy.
Ozuna and Chapman on the same team.
Well, we don't have to talk about that. Come on. Doesn't Marcelo Ozuna have stupid numbers at Fenway too?
Oh my god, it's crazy.
He's not that good this year though.
If they put him at Fenway full time, he would be good. Hold on.
I'm gonna get his Fenway numbers. Give me a moment.
Fine. Yeah, I'm trying to pull him up too.
It's crazy. Elevator music or something.
He hit a home run at Fenway in 2020 that was like,
oh my god. All right, here you go. Take a stab. What do you think his Fenway OPS is?
Who?
Marcelo Ozuna. I've got it in front of me, so I won't say it.
Oh dude.
All right, I'll tell you.
It's 9.
1,130. He loves Fenway. Holy shit, man. And I know he's not great this year. Like, he's still really good. Not to, you know, crap on his numbers. 807 OPS, 125 OPS plus. That's still very good.
But that's why he's a guy that maybe you could get for not that much, because he's making money. He's not having that great of a year. He's expiring. Like, he's a DH-only guy. Like, how many teams can afford to take that on?
I love that he's 34 too. Like, I want like a grizzled vet. That's a good rental. I like when like rentals are vets like that. I think that people will be like, he's old. I don't want like, bro, that's what you want. You need a calming presence, like a guy who's in the, he steps up to the plate. You're like, this guy
about Marcelo Ozuna, calming presence, man.
Like, hey, his teammates love him, man. His teammates love him. And there's that. You know what? I wonder if the Red Sox were to trade for him. I wonder if that guy who dresses up as him, who looks like him and goes to Braves games, I wonder if he'd come to Boston. That'd be a good interview.
Oh my god. all right. Anyone have any final thoughts or enough said or anything before we go?
Go Sox.
No. I'm just making it known. My current guy, we're recording on June 22nd. My current guy is Marcelo Ozuna. That is subject to change, but he is my current guy that I want them to trade for. Rental, cheap.
My current guy, my enough said, Josh Naylor, Diamondbacks, boo. Boo. Boo.
That'd be great.
Why boo?
Because I want them to lose, Gordo.
Oh, you're booing the Diamondbacks. I thought you were booing your guy.
No,
it's like
no.
You're naming a guy and then booing.
Naylor. Yay, Naylor.
Yay, Naylor.
Yay, baseball.
Oh, ready. I got it. Ready?
Hey, baseball.
There we go. Mike, I don't want to lock myself into a guy yet. I've been talking up Matt Olson a lot, but I think I should pick something more realistic, like a rental.
No, it's not a lock. It's not a lock. I shouldn't have said lock. It's like a look. This is where I'm sitting right now, but I might move.
All right. I mean, I love Matt Olson. I gotta pick someone that I know is on the trade market. I don't know about that. We'll see. Hopefully, he is, because I like the player. Always have. really did not want him to go to the Yankees back when they thought they had him, and glad he didn't. But that's going to do it for episode 229 of Play Tessie. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on WEI's channel. Hit the thumbs up on all the videos. Find the Play Tessie playlist there. It has all of them. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie episode 229. There will be more Who Says Knows, especially coming up in the month of July. We will have a lot of them for you. We'll figure out kind of what direction the Red Sox are heading in, buyer, seller. I think it's very much in the air, even though they are publicly saying they are ready to buy. It's all going to be dependent on what their playoff odds are, what the record is. So keep rooting for the boys, and hopefully they get into a position where they can be sure bet buyers. But that's going to do it for Play Tessie episode 229. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Peace.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.